people will say to you. Appreciate all the comments this morning on the way out. Back that up so I don't get the same comment again. About my sermon this morning, it's funny. I got to preach. I've had one full-time, all I would do is preach full-time position in my life. And right out of college where that's all I did. And I never forget when I went over to preach to try out. The elders had five elders. They called me into a into one of the elders' houses, and they questioned me for, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours. And Elmer James finally spoke up and said, "Well, we've tried out 4 people before you. We had one of them we really wanted. But they had a dog that his wife wouldn't let go of, and it had to live in the house." He said, "You got any dogs or cats?" I said, "None. We can't live without." And I got the job. And I remember after they offered me the job, I said, I won out over a dog. And had high hopes from that day forward. Another time I got a preaching job that the elders were talking, and one of them made a comment. He turned it into a joke. I don't know if he meant it as a joke when he said it, but they were talking to me at the same time, and they said, "Well, you know, if we hire him, we won't have to get a PA system and speakers. Everybody will be able to hear him." So I saved them probably $1,000 or $2,000, and they hired me for that. So one of the comments I got this morning was, certainly was a loud sermon. Never been told that before, but Monty Paul, maybe you heard it this morning, and you can't hear me right now, can you? Okay. Why should I be discouraged? Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, he said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So why should I be discouraged? I don't know if y'all have that marked in your Bible or not. You should have it marked. I've got it marked, highlighted, and I got some key words circled in that passage that when I read and I study, it jumps out at me. The very first thing that I've got circled in mine is found in the next or the second line there. "These things I have spoken unto you," listen to this, "that in me." Jesus said, "I've said these things, and in me," what do you say? "You will have peace." Wonder how many folks today is looking for peace outside of Jesus. How many people are living on this earth right now and trying to find happiness, trying to find some kind of peace in their life, and they're not trying to find it in Jesus? He goes on to say that in this world you will have tribulation. He is setting a comparison here, and he's drawing it up for us, and he lets us know that the world, you're going to have problems, you're going to have tribulations. But now you can find peace, and you can find it in me. He ends it by saying, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." No matter what we go through while on this earth, we can and will make it through it as long as we're in Christ. You know, Jesus refused to let people discourage him. He refused to let people frustrate him or defeat him because of their perception of his worth. Y'all ever made a statement about someone, "Don't raise your hand, don't volunteer this at all"? Have y'all ever made a statement or thought, "This person's not worth very much"? Because of the action, because of what they do, because of the choices they make, because of the lifestyle they're living. Have you ever thought, and I know that we don't mean it that way, but because we look at someone, we say, they're into a lot of trouble. And as you study about Jesus and you think about Jesus, he never allowed people and what they thought about his worth to discourage him, because he knew what he had to do. The Lord knew that his success was not dependent on people, but depended on God. He knew why God had sent him here. He knew what his mission was, and he knew what he had to do and the life that he had to live and the death that he had to die on the cross. So when we think about our worth and we think about our discouragement, we know that we have to live a life that other people can see Christ living in us. So we're talking about living the Christian life. But just because the world may say, John Henry, that you're not worth much because you're a Christ-like person, it's not the people you worry about, it's God. Because God will be the one to judge. If you remember what Jesus said, he said that he had finished the work. And he asked God to be with him, and he'll glorify his Father, which is in heaven. So as we live our life, are we living our life to glorify our Father? Found an illustration this last week when I was preparing this about a baseball player, Babe Ruth. He was up to bat, and an umpire called him out on strikes. The article goes on to say that the crowd booed with sharp disapproval at the call. It says, a legendary Ruth turned to the umpire and said, there's 40,000 people here who know that last pitch was a ball, tomato head. The coaches, expecting the umpire would erupt with anger. The coaches and the players were very braced themselves for Ruth to be ejected from the game. It said, however, the cool-headed umpire replied, maybe so, babe. But mine is the only opinion that counts. How true that is. How true that is if you're talking about baseball, and how true that is when we're talking about our spiritual life with God. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what call they make. It matters what call God has made, and we know what the Lord would have us to do. Another article I found I thought was very appropriate for the lesson tonight is, it was entitled Castles in the Sand. It says, a few years ago, I saw a special news film showing a couple that had made a great castle on the seashore out of sand. It spread out several feet, and it was truly a masterpiece of art. It said, in that same film, they showed a tidal wave that rolled across the castle, turning it into a pile of sand. What does that remind you of? Does that not remind us of Jesus? Remind us of what he told us? People that live their lives without God, they put all their skills, they put all their efforts into this world. It's like a wise man and a foolish man that we're going to turn to and look in just a minute. But he compares that to us today. Where are we going to build ourselves? Are we going to build it on the world? Are we going to think about the world? Are we going to think that our delight is in this world? Are we going to build and establish ourselves for heaven, for the next life? If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Let's start with verse. Let me get there first of all. I was in Mark. Matthew chapter 7. Start with verse 26, I think it is. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall. The song that we sang, Rock of Ages. When we think about our lives, how big of a wave does it take to come into our life to destroy us? How much tribulation can we go through before we, as we started talking about, getting discouraged to the point that we fall and we lose our footing? Jesus clearly is teaching us that we have got to build our house upon him. As we think about the life that we live, we think about the example, we think about our habits, we think about our daily walk, our daily lifestyles, and I'm not going to be discouraging to you, but when we think about the choices that we make, whether or not we're going to attend, and we're thankful that you're here, but whether or not we're going to attend worship services, whether or not we're going to attend Bible study, whether or not we're going to have home Bible studies, whether or not we're going to have devotional in our homes, whether or not we're going to pray several times a day as a family in our home, the choices that we make, is it centered around God, is what I'm trying to say. Is it centered around Christ, or is it more centered around the worldly activities that we surround ourselves with or that surrounds us? Steve and I was talking out front, and Keith was talking out front before worship service tonight. You know, there is two paths. People make comments all the time about there's several ways to get to heaven. But there's only one way to get to heaven. The way is through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We have to get to heaven through Jesus. And when we put Jesus in our life and we become a Christian, it changes, as I said last Sunday, I think, when I was preaching, it changes our whole lifestyle. We give up things. We change the way that we do things. So number one tonight, we have to build our lives on a rock. The question I asked was, how big of a wave can you take? We have to have that foundation. The most powerful wave possible, death, cannot make us fall if we're built on Jesus, on that rock. David's relationship to God in Psalms 23 and verse 4 allowed him to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Folks, that's being able to stand. That's being able to stand firm on the rock. Second point tonight. How does one build his life on Jesus as the rock? You know, millions miss the way by feeling that it's enough simply to learn of Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to believe in God. Millions and millions of people miss the way. Jesus there is telling us, if you look at the very last two verses that we read, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he is like the foolish man. The scripture's telling us it's more than just hearing, it's doing. It's living that life, being that example that we should be. When Jesus delivered his Sermon on the Mount, he closed by giving the following warning. Not everyone who heareth these sayings of mine and does them, they will be like the foolish man. They fall. If we don't do Jesus' will, why should I be discouraged? The only way we should be discouraged is by allowing the world to overcome us. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. You can have peace in me. Tonight, are you a Christian? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God? Then you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here and you've been unfaithful, you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Our prayer is that you will come while we stand and sing.